But
okay.
Yeah, the only one that I know is there's a Crazy for You. We did Tap, and I think that was like I knew that because we drilled that like one section over and over again.
Sipping on Sondheim while belting up Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Hear Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tenants and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the vine dies, whether June's or moons, I simply turn to my favorite things, and they are a Tenants and Tunes.
Welcome to Tenants and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Glad that you're back with us
post-mom episode.
It was so much fun. We had our moms in the studio.
Yes, they were a delight. They're going to have their own podcast now.
I don't think my mom has time. Right. They just dissect our episodes.
Tell
everyone what's wrong with them.
You know, that's the thing. They, I don't know if everybody has, I have a podcast with my mother. She is always the one that is like, I'm too busy.
Janet is like, I have a life.
I've got
you need
things
to check
do.
My calendar.
Right.
I will pencil you in.
Got here and here and here. And she's retired.
So, that's what you do.
That's what you do. Yeah, you do more when you're retired, I guess.
Yeah. Jimmy, how was your week?
Great. Something happened to me just now as I was walking here or going here. So I'm like walking to Midtown from 45th. And I'm like dodging everybody, and there's this one person on their phone, and I'm sort of like dodging him, and I look up, and it's Andy Cohen.
That's funny.
It's just Andy Cohen, and he just like, we look at each other for a second, and he like, you know, we do like that like half smile, and he's like, go about our lives. And I was like,
welcome to New York.
Okay.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that was yours.
That's such a good thing. My week has been pretty good. I do have to tell our listeners that our mascot, Abel the Cat, has been a little under the weather and had to go to the hospital, but he's back now. Everything's good. He's literally taking a nap right now behind our guest. So
you're on double duty.
Yeah.
You're taking care of
emotional support right there. All of our thoughts and prayers with Abel the Cat.
thoughts and prayers,
Abel the Cat. But other than that, we're just gearing up for summer, you guys. It is going to be a lot. We have a lot of great episodes coming at you.
We're really excited. Some old favorites, some new ones.
Yep. Get ready. Everyone gear up for Tannins and Tonys this year. I am warning you that I will release the drinking game for Tannins and Tonys on June 4th, which is going to be when our prediction episode goes out. And that will also be the day that the drinking game is launched, so you can get prepared, buy all your wines, and we will be playing along with you. So
I can't wait.
Get ready for that.
I think one of our drinking rules should be every single time we see our guests on the Tonys, we should take a drink.
Yes, and definitely big cheers for Ariana DeBose, who is nominated this year, which is really exciting. Yay. Big cheers for Ariana.
Love you, Ari.
Friend of the pod.
Yeah, friend of the pod. Great. Well, Jimmy, let's get started.
Let's get started. It's currently now in My Fair Lady, playing at Lincoln Center. It's Christopher Bison.
Hello. Hi.
Woo.
I love that. Thank you. That's really exciting.
I'm really excited that you're here.
I'm glad
Jimmy's
to be
real
here.
Asleep.
It's okay. It's all right.
Chris, how are you doing today?
Hi, I'm great.
Good.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit. Give us the synopsis of you as a performer. Where'd you come from? How'd you get to be here?
Well, literally, I was born a poor black child.
Just like Steve Martin in The Jerk.
Yeah, just, you know, I was born. Exactly. Oh my God, I love that movie. That coming to Broadway. Like, make that into a musical.
Any
that
day.
Would be fine. Yeah, right? Tomorrow.
Literally any day.
Let's see. I grew up in Connecticut singing in the church.
Okay.
And found the theater sort of by accident. I was one that never really liked to go on field trips. I hated, like, just going in like town. I always hated leaving like the comfort and safety of my home. And there was this one field trip with the Martin Luther King Center in my town, and they were coming to New York to see a production of Serafina. And yes. This was in the early 80s, children, because I'm just under 100 years old. But yeah, we came to see Serafina, and I'd seen Phantom, of course, and I'd seen Les Mis, of course, and I'd seen Cats, and I fell asleep. I'd never seen a show with all black people. It was bizarre to me to see people that looked like me on the stage, and thus began my obsession with the performing arts. Not obsession the way some people are obsessed, but yeah, that's sort of
the way that we're obsessed.
Yeah, I'm not. I know I can't quote you everybody's like CV. I don't know who built what set, and you know who. Sometimes I don't know things, but I do know that that sort of ignited the passion for me, and that was like what made me say, okay, that's what I want to do. Because I knew I wanted to sing, I knew I wanted to be on the stage, but I didn't know in what capacity. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was Serafina.
So then you went to, did you go to college for musical theater?
I did.
Where'd you go?
I did. I went to Shenandoah University.
I know all the people there.
I know all the people.
Do you really?
There.
Really? Both of you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I went to Shenandoah University.
Oh, my dear friend Jacob Brent teaches there right now.
That's fantastic, Jacob.
Hey, Jacob Brent.
I dropped out. So don't know a lot of people from there because I was only there for a hot second.
Cool, great, okay, great.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this is not my scene.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I went to Shenandoah for a year, left there, went and did Up With People.
Yeah.
Again, dating myself, but that's what I did. And then sort of found my way here to New York, lived here for a little while, and I didn't realize that like there were other people here trying to be in the performing arts. I thought it was maybe just me. Like I was like,
they're just like waiting for you.
Yeah. I was like, what do you guys do? Who are you? Yeah. And so lo and behold, actually right after I sort of failed at New York the first time, my high school music teacher, who had since left the school, opened up a theater in the hometown, and he opened up this small black box theater. That was in a former firehouse, and he was looking for talent. And of course I was like, okay, sure. What's up? Like, let me know. And so I went back home and, worked for many, many years at the Spirit of Broadway Theater. First it was, had a different name. Spirit of Broadway Theater, in Connecticut. And, did that. And then I got tired of that and was like, I'm going to go, back to New York, came back to New York and ended up on cruise ships.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good son.
Yeah.
You make that money.
Yeah, baby. I was making good coin. I spent a lot of coin. But I was making it.
And you get to see the world.
That's what I tell people the most, was that the travel for me was probably the coolest part.
Yeah.
Was just being in a new country, in a new city. There was one time where we went through four countries in 24 hours, and it was just bizarre. Yeah, it was really an incredible, incredible experience. I would not trade my time on cruise ships for the world.
Well, and it teaches you a lot about, I think, stamina and keeping things fresh, because with those shows,
everything changes. Everything changes. Somebody gets injured, somebody's, you know, whatever the case may be, you're always on your toes and you're always, present, like you said, and always meeting new people, which is really cool. Every week there's a new group of people that come on board, and you sort of get to talk to them. And some of my very, very closest friends I met from working on cruise ships, which
that's
is
awesome.
Incredible friendships that have lasted. I did 10 years of ships, so.
Well, when you're literally below deck with each other.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I made a couple of friends.
Yeah.
I made some enemies, too. Not really. Everybody liked me.
How could you not?
I'm likable. Yeah.
Okay, so then you got back from cruise ships.
Yes.
And you just started being amazing and...
I got back from cruise ships. I actually moved like right down the street.
Oh, amazing.
Right now, which is very funny. This is my first like... proper apartment by myself, and had my little money saved and was doing the thing and working and hustling like everybody else. Mm-hmm. And, I ended up going back to cruise ships because I was not making any money.
Right. And you're like, I can make a lot of money.
Yeah, I can make a lot of money. Well, yeah. No, wait, I cut something out. So I got a job actually working for a Sweet Hospitality Group.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all right. Yeah, it was cool. And they put me actually originally I was working at the August Wilson. I was working at Jersey Boys.
Oh, cool.
And it was not a good experience for me, for the young black, well, not young, but, you know, for the black kid trying to sell candy to the white folks, they weren't really receiving me. It was not a good time. So they moved me to the Eugene O'Neill. And I saw the Book of Mormon. I got to see that 8 times a week, and it was fantastic. Great. And all of a sudden, I got a call to go on a ship again. And I was like, okay, cool, I'm out. And it was a short contract. It was only a few weeks, 8 weeks. And during like my last week on board the ship, my agent called and was like, hey, the Book of Mormon is looking for somebody. And I was like, great. I've seen it a couple of times. So I kind of know.
Yeah,
I've heard it before. So I kind of knew what they were expecting. And I signed off for the ship, went to the audition like 3 days later and booked the first
national tour.
That's
amazing.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Really cool. What a cool story.
Yeah. It was very cool. It was nice to like walk in the room and they all knew who I was because they had seen me at the theater, like slinging the Twizzlers.
That's so awesome.
Really? Yeah. It was really cool.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
They had all recognized me, like, hey, you're the candy guy. I was like, yep.
Hi.
Twizzlers.
And you had Twizzlers for
everyone. And I just panned to pass them all out to everybody. That's what got me this job, really. Not my talent.
But you still, still charge them $5.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I'm still working. I'm still on the clock.
I'm a hustler, baby.
Yes.
That's it.
Well, now that we've talked a little bit about traveling,
yeah.
I just want to get into this wine.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Right.
So I'm going to have Jimmy pour while I talk about it because we got a lot going on here. So this is a Spanish wine from the winemaker Jordi Miro, and it's called Enak. So it's E-N-N-A-K.
Thank you.
And it has a cat on it, which I just got really excited about when they showed me at the store. As you can tell, I love my cat. So it's 35. Okay.
I'm so sorry. Can I say something before we even go? The bottle made it look like it was a white wine.
It did. Yeah. It is bottled a little bit differently. Right. It has a larger base.
It's a label. It's a larger base. I think it was kind of like even like a greenish tint. Yeah. It's a greenish tint.
Yeah, but it's not. We're doing a red wine today. And when I was doing my research on this, I could not figure out exactly what's in it.
What?
Because
are you trying to poison us?
Yes. So
it's fine.
Tannins
and Tonys.
Tannins and Tunes.
We haven't even started drinking. Good grief.
What is happening? Start from the beginning. Hi. Welcome to the Mother's Day episode of Tannins and Tunes.
Wrong one. So the label says that it's 35% Syrah, 33% Grenache, 22% Cab, 5% Tempranillo, and 5% Merlot. But another place online says that it's 44% red Grenache, 25% Tempranillo, 23% Merlot, and 8% Carignan. So what? I don't know which is right.
Okay.
I can't figure it out.
Now, these are, like, when they say these percentages, those are the grapes.
Those are the grapes, the varietals of grapes that are involved in the wine.
Okay. And this is before we crush them and juice them.
It's what is harvested for this wine.
Okay.
So they harvest all of these different grapes. And
crush
then they,
them together.
They press them. But you bring that up. You bring up a good point. So the Tempranillo and Merlot are actually done together. And then they're, quote unquote, cooked at a low temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're pumped. So when it's in the tank, it gets pumped over itself. So like the wine from the bottom gets brought to the top and it's called pumping over.
Okay.
And you do that within the tank for the first 24 hours. And that's to extract color and aromas and things like that. And then they do the end of the alcoholic fermentation without the skins in order to not get the strong tannins of the Tempranillo and Merlot, because that's what those two grapes are known for. And so they do a soft press, malolactic fermentation in the tank. But then with the Grenache and the Carignan, they're harvested together, and then they do the full maceration with the skins, unlike the other ones, because those skins are a little bit thinner and don't give as much tannin to it. So you're getting a softer wine in your mouth. And then the malolactic fermentation in a stainless steel vat, and then they do the blend by just like tasting and figuring out what they much of each they want in the blend.
I was going to ask that too. Is it just trial and error to be I want this without skins and I want this with skins? I'm going to put this in a crock pot and then.
Not a crock pot.
And then I mean, don't put it in a crock pot.
Not a crock pot.
Please don't put your wine in a crock pot.
Wait a minute. No.
Well, and that's the cool thing about this winemaker is that he actually worked in his family's vineyards his entire life alongside his father. And so he learned winemaking from his father, and he learned about farming organically and making these organic and natural wines. And then he made his own winery and started creating his own wines. And he believes in like minimal intervention with the grapes themselves and with the winemaking process. I didn't say this is a Spanish wine. It's from Terra Alta, which is kind of northeastern Spain. Mm-hmm. So it's right there kind of near the Mediterranean, which is why I picked it, because I figured the rains in Spain.
Oh my gosh.
It's mainly in the plain.
Guys, this is our last episode.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
Again?
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
I think she's got it. I think she's got it.
The rain in Spain stays mainly in the plain.
By George, she's got it. By George, she's got it. Now once again, where does it rain?
but I also figured that Frederick Lowe...
And it's raining tonight, too.
And yes. It's raining.
Okay, it's perfect.
I also figured that Frederick Lowe actually learned piano and accompaniment and songwriting from his father, much like this winemaker learned winemaking from his father.
Whoa.
So, double layers.
See, this is what I'm saying. When I don't know everything. I did not know that. I'm singing the man's songs 8 times a week. I don't know. He learned.
You don't need to know.
I guess not. The checklist.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm good.
I paid a lot of money to learn that.
That's so funny. All right. Work.
Okay. So let's go ahead and smell.
It smells good.
Ooh, yeah. That is deep. That's chocolatey.
A little fruity.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's deep. This has a PhD in like physics and philosophy. It's real deep. It really thinks outside the box.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay.
It wears smoking jackets and,
if you mean that it has a smoky flavor, then yeah, we'll go with
that. All right.
A note that came up was bitter cherry.
What?
Mm-mm. No?
I'm not getting bitter cherry.
What are you getting?
Delicious.
Let's go ahead and taste it. Mm.
Whoa. Wow.
Are you getting bitter cherry now?
Yeah. Bright. I'm getting a bright.
Yeah? But yeah, I definitely get that. It's really funky. It's...
Mm-hmm. Well, it's... not as funky as like our Shrek wine, though.
No. Not funky and like it's kind of tasting dirty, but funky in that like you get the naturalness of it.
Yeah,
like a natural wine.
It's it doesn't taste like it smells. Does anybody you know like the smell is like deep and rich, and then the taste is bright and almost bitter.
Really high acid
at the end. Yeah, it's like at the end it like. Gives you a little snap.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, really, really high acid. Mm-hmm. So Terra Alta, the vineyards in Terra Alta are actually on these like rolling hills in the Spanish countryside, which is just gorgeous. And they actually get about 14 to 20 inches of rain a year, which is typically bad for wines because they can get moldy really easily. Mm-hmm. But thankfully, they have a lot of winds that come in off the Mediterranean to clear that up. And so it's pretty arid out there. And you wouldn't think that with the soils are mainly limestone and clay, and you wouldn't think, again, like this place shouldn't be good for wines. But they make, what it does is it makes the vines work hard. And so you get these really lean, aromatic, strong wines, I feel like.
Right.
And I'm definitely getting that in the glass.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Is this like, Like this show?
Definitely like this show. I mean, you have a female protagonist that is strong.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you were going for?
Yeah.
A lean.
I'm going to keep sipping.
Lean slip of a woman that ends up being a strong character based mm-hmm. on where she's from and where she's living. Aha.
I want to talk about.
That's good.
I want to talk about my favorite character, which is.
Well, we should tell everybody what we're talking about today.
Oh yeah, did they not know?
So, guests, we're talking about My Fair Lady today.
Yes,
which is incredibly exciting.
It's so exciting. Exciting. Again, our guest is currently. Starring on Broadway.
I love it.
Thank you for the starring.
You are.
It's over the title.
Costermonger number three.
He's my favorite character.
Well, mine too. Mine too.
Friend of the show, Christine, is also with you.
Yes, that's right. That's, yes. I forgot to tell her I was coming here tonight.
Christine. Hey, Christine. Smith.
Hey, Cece.
So let's talk a little bit about your journey into the show first.
Yeah. Oh boy. The truth of the matter. Hello. So let me just have another sip.
Yes.
Loosen up the tongue a little bit.
I have the advantage. I definitely had a glass of wine already.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So my journey into the show, I was just about done with New York City. Mm-hmm. I finished Mormon tour, came back. I did 3 years on that tour, which was bananas.
Yeah.
But I came back and like every single door was like closed.
Yeah.
Every door was closed. I was.
You were a real Joseph.
Yeah. It was like very. Thank you for that. Yeah.
You're a nerd.
I didn't want to say it, but you said it, so that's all right. I'll let you the host, I'm going to let you say it. I didn't want to, you know.
Does anyone want to talk about how Joseph is a kind of a lot like Luke Skywalker?
No one wants to talk about that.
That's fine. Okay. Avengers Infinity War.
Great.
Please keep going.
All right. So I was done with New York. I literally had, I was working two jobs. I was working, back at the Sweet Hospitality Group at the August Wilson, working at Groundhog Day, which was fun, and, was also hosting at Blue Dog Kitchen.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I like that place. And just was like really at my wit's end as far as the audition scenes were concerned. I was just sort of over it. I was done. I was ready to move back home, only because that very same theater that I talked about earlier back home, I directed for the first time at.
Amazing.
Yeah, I directed Songs for a New World, which was incredible. It was a lot of fun, and I had a wonderful time doing it. It was my first time directing, and I picked the right show and the right cast. And sort of through that, I started thinking about, well, New York has been great, but I could really go back home and sort of make some things work here at this theater. And, there were some opportunities to maybe become their artistic director and sort of work with their board of directors there and getting it, back to where it was previously.
Right.
And so I was done. I was actually packing. I was looking for someone to sublet my apartment. I was like on my way out. The only thing I hadn't done was given my notice at the jobs. And there was a random email from my agent saying that My Fair Lady was casting and that I had an appointment to go in. And I was like, cool. Shout out to my agent. Hey, Ricky.
Yes, Ricky.
Fishbine of the Hybrid Agency. Love you. So I was like, okay, fine. This is going to be the last one because I don't want to do this anymore. Like I'm tired of it. It's you're in the business. It's exhausting. And so I went in and I unfortunately, admittedly knew nothing about My Fair Lady. I knew zero things about it. I just knew that I needed a job. I didn't know who Bart Scher was. I didn't know a boo about Ted Sperling. No, I knew nothing. Okay. I was just like, I'm gonna go to this audition and just call it a day. And,
I didn't even know what to sing. Like, I had nothing in my book that, I had one song in my book that was like, okay, I'll sing that.
So you sang Without You from Rent.
Basically, yeah. Okay. I sang Without You because it was, you know. No, my friend Paul, had suggested that I sing, That's For Me from State Fair.
Yes. Oh, what like, a good okay. choice.
Right? I was like, okay, cool. I'd learned it. And of course, I didn't know it.
So you got that recording.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I was like, who now? What? Okay, That's For Me. And learned it. And,
State Fair? Okay.
Right? I went in and I sang that. And immediately after I finished singing, Ted Sperling said, what else do you have? And I thought, damn.
Without You from Rent.
Without You from Rent. Okay. As a solo.
As a solo.
And I ended up doing the other song that was in my book that was appropriate for it, which was Lonely House. So I sang that.
Yeah.
And
the Burt Bacharach song, The House Is Not a
Home. No. No. No.
Is that?
No.
That's a different, different song.
Okay.
That's a different song.
Well, you should have sang that.
No, I should have sang Without You. Really. Well, I wouldn't be here probably because I probably wouldn't have booked it. But I sang, yeah, I did that. I did that Lonely House. And I knew that something happened when I left the room.
Nice.
It was a moment where I could feel their energy. They could feel me.
Yes.
They were very receptive to what I was giving and I was definitely receiving them. This is how poor I was. Several weeks had passed, maybe 2 or 3 weeks had passed, and I was at the dollar store.
Yeah.
Discounts and Deals.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Up on where over there, and I was with the blue awning.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm, yep. I was there, and I was actually returning clothes.
Yeah,
because I was so poor. I had bought some jeans in there that I just could not afford.
Yeah,
from the dollar store, and I got the call that I was going to be on Broadway while I was returning clothes at the dollar store.
What?
Yeah. So I screamed bloody murder in the dollar store, and the little lady behind the counter didn't know what was going on, and I just, screamed bloody murder. I skipped the callback section and all that, but, you know. I got the call that I would be making my debut on Broadway the dollar store returning clothes.
That's so incredible.
Yeah. So, okay,
what
so
a cool story.
Everybody, friends, you want to be on Broadway, make this your last audition that you're ever going to get, you're ever going to do, and then go to the dollar store.
But I can't tell you how many times I've heard that from people saying, like, it was my last thing.
It's always the case. Yeah. It's always the case. Yeah. I mean, at least for me in my life, the way sort of my career is gone, I've always been at like the end of my rope when something great has happened for me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah,
do you just feel like it's because you're like, I'm just going to put it all out there, or just like, I'm already done, so I don't really need this. Is it too much to even sort of dissect the magic and unpack it?
I mean, yes to all of those questions. For me, it was, I didn't have a choice really.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have a choice. When you're given the gift that we're given, you don't have a choice but to use it.
Right.
And I didn't, I'm someone who has never, ever, ever stopped. I've always persevered. I've always been hit from left and right. And it's funny because people who know me very well say, oh, you always seem to, you always land on your feet,
right.
Which I do. I've been knocked down many, many, many times. In my life. And, for example, I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes on tour.
Wow.
Which was,
oh my gosh, how do you even handle that?
Exactly. Exactly. I was like, wait, what? Oh, the bus is leaving? Okay, cool. Like, right. It was very, it was very that. And like learning about this disease and trying to figure out how to live my life. And I'm trying to FaceTime or call my doctor here in New York. And then I'm in Iowa. And, it's a thing within a thing. And so I've always been the person that is just struggled but strived and continued to keep going and keep going. So it was,
what an inspiring thing towards like actors who are pursuing it too, to be like, hey, it's not going to happen in the first 3 months,
right.
6 months, right. year, no. 6 years.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
it happens
not.
When and it's supposed to happen, yeah. which is so cliche,
please,
but it's true.
Please say no if you don't want to answer this question, but will you tell everybody your age?
Oh, yes, I would gladly tell you my
because
age.
Because I think that's also, I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, okay.
I think
you know that.
I think it's beautiful in terms of we think that things should happen right now, and if they're mm-hmm. not happening right now, then something is wrong with either ourselves or the system mm-hmm. itself. Mm-hmm. Sometimes patience is not a virtue, or is like the, you know.
Yeah.
So, right. Patience is difficult to have.
Right.
It's difficult to have. It definitely is a virtue, but it's a tough one. And when you're in this business in particular, I was successful at age 39. I booked this show. And I just turned 40, like a week before we opened.
Oh, yeah. That's so cool.
Isn't that bizarre? What
that.
A great birthday.
I was like, happy birthday to me. Really, happy birthday to. In fact, when I went for my understudy audition, because I'm also understudying the role of Freddie.
Yes,
very exciting times.
Gonna exciting go see times. That. Gonna knock out the Freddie with chloroform so you can play.
No, he's lovely. We love Jordan. He's a great guy. He's really lovely and he's great in the role. But I remember being at the audition and I was nervous. Still, even though I had already booked the job, mm-hmm. I was still a nervous wreck.
Oh, you had booked the job,
booked
and
the
then
job,
you had auditioned.
And then they called me in to understudy Freddie.
I didn't know that's how it worked. Yeah. I don't know anything about this.
Listen,
neither do I.
And I remember leaving the room, and Ira, who was the sweetest, one of our producers on the show.
He Ira said, Glass from This American Life?
Yeah.
What? Why? I know I have to cut that out.
Really? Ira Weitzman from Lincoln Center Theater, who's lovely. I call him Sweet Ira.
It's a joke. It's just a silly joke.
He said to me on the way out, he said, happy holidays. This was around Christmas time. It was like the week before Christmas. He was like, happy holidays. And I was like, indeed. Happy holidays to you too, Ira. It was like, I mean, it was the best.
Oh.
It was absolutely the best to get the gig. And then to get the understudy position and then to open the week before my birthday. It was just like.
So
a week
cool.
after, it was crazy. Yeah.
That's insane.
Crazy.
So cool.
The lesson is, children, keep going.
Keep going.
Do not stop. Keep going.
I needed that today.
For real.
Right?
Well, let's learn a little bit about this musical, and then I want to talk to you about like your favorite moments
sure.
and things like that.
Yeah.
So this originally premiered in 1956, was at the Mark Hellinger Theater, but then went to the Broadhurst and then to the Broadway because it stayed open so long. It closed in 1962.
Mm.
So it was 2,717 performances.
Oh my goodness.
A lot of rain in Spain.
Crazy.
That's a lot
so
of rain.
So crazy.
It's a lot of ascots.
So many ascots. So it was written by music by Frederick Lowe, lyrics and book by Alan J. Lerner, and it was based on George Bernard Shaw's Pygmalion.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was based on She's All That.
Close. Close. No cigar. Moss Hart directed it. So, interesting facts about this musical. So, George Bernard Shaw, hold on, let me bring this up because it was really interesting. Hold on.
George Bernard Shaw
no.
crushes.
I'm not even going to listen to you.
George Bernard Shaw.
So, George Bernard Shaw wrote Pygmalion. Gabriel Pascal got the film rights mm-hmm. to this, to do Pygmalion mm-hmm. as a film.
In 38.
Yep, mm-hmm. in 1938. And so,
you know your stuff.
Only because I've heard it a lot.
Right, of course, of course.
A lot.
So then Gabriel Pascal asked Alan J. Lerner to write the musical adaptation of this, and he was like, yeah, sure, let me bring in my friend Frederick Lowe over here, because Oscar Hammerstein and Richard Rodgers wouldn't do it. So we have Lerner and Lowe, and then Gabriel Pascal died. And they were like, what are we gonna do?
Okay.
And so Lerner and Lowe were like, well, we've already written all this music and like we're still going on it. Why don't we just like keep doing it and keep going? But then they were in this war with MGM on who had the rights to Pygmalion's musical adaptation. But Lerner and Lowe won, basically because they had put in work. They had like, already started writing.
A real arbitration.
And so they literally won the lawsuit. And then they fell upon the title My Fair Lady, which was a combination of, it was Fair Eliza, and they kind of fudged it.
It was going to be Eliza for half a quick sec.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, let me see here. Yeah, Noel Coward was supposed to be in it. He turned it down. Mary Martin was supposed to be in it. She turned it down. So they ended up with Julie Andrews as...
that she said that like that.
No.
That lady. That lady. Yeah, what is that British lady?
Oh my gosh. I was trying to think of Rex Harrison, and then I knew Julie Andrews, I went with that one first.
She did something. She's
Harrison. The Hills Are Alive, I think. Yeah.
Before that, she'd only done The Boyfriend. The Boyfriend was her Broadway debut.
Right.
then they, like, discovered her to do this show.
Right. Well, still, she was like 20 at the time.
I mean, yes, she was very, very young.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some fun facts about like the background of the show. Alan J. Lerner says that he was really bad at writing lyrics and that I Could Have Danced All Night was like the only one that he wrote quickly. Everything else, he took a really, really long time. And he said back in an interview with NPR that they would decide together, he and Frederick Lowe would decide where they needed a song in the play.
Uh-huh.
And then they would decide what was going to be about. And then they would discuss the mood of the song. And then Alan J. Lerner would give Frederick Lowe a title. Frederick Lowe would write the music. And then Alan J. Lerner would write the words.
Huh.
It feels,
and so they kind of work kind of backwards compared to a lot of other composers.
Right. Yeah, they give a title. I'm going to geek out for a second right now.
Do it.
Feels very much like old style, the Marvel way, like in the 60s, Stan Lee and Steve Ditko or Jack Kirby. Stan Lee would give out very loose plots for like, this is what the Fantastic Four are going to do, or this is what the X-Men are going to do. And then the artist would then draw and plot out everything, give it back to Stan Lee, and then Stan Lee would write dialogue
over
what had happened. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and have you all seen the original poster for My Fair Lady?
With the puppet?
Yes. God and the puppet. So that's actually not supposed to be God. So this is an Al Hirschfeld poster or window card. It's supposed to be George Bernard Shaw.
I thought it was supposed
to
be
died.
What's his name? Higgins.
Right.
Yeah, that too.
But he's controlling Higgins and Eliza,
and it's really
George Bernard Shaw who's
sorry.
He deserved it.
Yeah, that's fine.
is controlling everything because even in death, his presence was still so far looming over the production.
Mm-hmm.
Even to the point that, have you heard about the end of the musical and why it's so controversial?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Of our version?
Of your version, and then I'll tell you some history too. Just some things that I've looked up.
Sure. Well, by the time we get to the show, is long.
It's real long.
It's long.
It's long. By the time we get to the end, I'm asleep. one of the things that I really appreciate about this this iteration of the show, this version, is that Bart, in his genius, has really reexamined the material and has really, really looked at the source. He's really taken a fine tooth comb over Shaw and what the original intent was.
Thank
which is
goodness.
Brilliant, right? And so when word was coming out of that the show's coming back, and it was like, why? And it's very feminist, and
why now?
And it's a male chauvinist sort of show, and is of course there's a male director and so on and so forth. But what people don't know is that behind the scenes, both Bart and Lauren, Lauren Ambrose, who plays Eliza, what up, Keisha? Lauren and Bart really took a good hard look at Eliza,
yeah.
And they looked at her intention. And if you actually look at the source material, there's this thing that happens in the very, very beginning where Higgins says, I can make a lady out of her. I bet you, whatever, how many pounds mm-hmm. or whatever the bet was. And it's Eliza that shows up at his house.
Right.
He does not seek her out. She goes to him and says, hey, you said you could do this, which is very, very smart. And the way it's staged in our production, you can clearly see Eliza sort of tuning in to everything that he's saying in the very beginning. And she's thinking about it. And you can really see her thought process in, oh, I've always kind of wanted to be a lady. And maybe mm-hmm. this guy could actually help me. You know what? He says he can. I'm going to pay attention. Oh, he lives at where? Okay, Wimpole Street. I know exactly where that is. And then she goes to him.
Right.
Which I really, truly appreciate the fact that it's about her journey.
Yes.
To becoming this lady. It's not about him saying, you do what I say and you act the way I tell you to act. It's not about that. It's about her saying, look, I want to have a florist shop. I want to be a regular, proper lady, and I want to speak more genteel, and they won't take me if I don't speak better. And you said you could. So, put your money where your mouth is.
Right.
And that's one of the things that I appreciate. As far as the ending is concerned, I'm not going to give it away for those who have not seen it.
Well, then I'll talk about.
But they've been on the island the whole time.
Exactly.
Still on the island.
Yes.
I'll just talk about some historical choices been made.
Wait. Have you seen it?
I have not seen this iteration yet.
I have not seen it.
Y'all both got me sitting here.
We're
neither one of y'all have seen the show.
I can't get tickets.
You sure can. You can't. You sure can.
I tried.
Yeah, I got house seats. Hello.
What? I literally tried 2 weeks ago to take my mom.
Yeah.
And they were like,
yeah, I know.
That was what they said to me.
It's legit. Yeah. Look. Bummer, I'm in a sold out show.
Oh darn.
That sucks. Oh, well.
It was really funny because I was like, well, okay, I have a bunch of dates I can deal with, and they just laughed in my face. And I, because I work at Lincoln Center 4 days a week, I tutor over there for a girl at SAP. And so I'm literally there and can check in all the time. Mm, I'm like, mm-hmm. if you have any cancellations, like, I will be here tomorrow. See you tomorrow.
Yeah, it's funny.
They know me by now. It's hilarious. So Shaw didn't want this romance at the end. He was very, very clear that he did not want a romance, especially because the show was written basically about women's suffrage mm-hmm. and the end of the class system in Britain.
Yes.
So her line of, if I can't have kindness, I'll have independence, is a big deal in Pygmalion. And that was her last line. And then the stage direction is Eliza sweeps out. That's the end of the show. Then what happened when he saw the play, the actor who played Higgins mm-hmm. had this longing look. And then that became the end of the play. And then it became him throwing flowers at her. And that became the end of the play. So it was all the actor
who
decided that he wanted to have a moment at the end. And George Bernard Shaw was furious. Yeah. He could not handle it. But it got out of control. And the audience loved it. The audience loved that there was a romance at the end of this play. But George Bernard Shaw hated it until his dying day, and he was really upset that it was getting turned into this. So the original screenplay in 1938, he wrote the way that he wanted to, but then the director went behind his back and did this new scene that involved the romance. And so that's why George Bernard Shaw did not want to do a musical version to begin with.
Right.
As he said, it's just going to be more of this romance, and it's exactly what I'm fighting against here.
Right.
And I just feel like you're going to turn it into this frothy
I mean, there's layers of love and romance in it, mm-hmm. in this version. It's just not as present. It's not about a relationship of a loving sexual nature. It's more right. of a relationship between, like you said, about the classes. Yeah. And that's something that we've also strived to show, is that the class distinction was very, very important.
Yes.
In London at that time. And you'll see, I love the way that we stage some of the scenes in Covent Garden, because the classes are very much separated on the stage in that scene. And yet we're all in the same place.
Right.
We're all in the same location, but yet we are complete opposite sides of the stage. The upper class folks are doing their thing and the Cockneys are doing theirs. And it's almost as if they want to meet and sort of meld together, but they just don't, because right. they can't.
Right.
Because of, you know, the society that they lived in 1911. So in this version, again, not giving away the ending, people are either absolutely floored by it and a bad way, because I feel like we marry ourselves to an idea of what something should be. If you've seen the movie, you say,
exactly.
"Oh, the movie,
you've
it
seen
be
Audrey
this way."
Hepburn.
Exactly, Audrey Hepburn did right. it like this. How come they're not doing? How come she's not wearing? You know, we right. get to ask it, and we're Catherine Zuber and her fabulous costume design. We're not wearing the black and white that right. everyone else in every single version of this show is worn. And you know, people are like, "Oh, they're in Ascot and they're in purple." You know what I mean? It's a big deal to people.
Go watch the movie.
Right, exactly. We are not the movie, boo. We are not the movie.
I made my friends put it on for Derby Day. I was like, it is Derby Day. We are watching Ascot.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you guys do something fun?
We did a little
backstage.
Didn't realize it was Derby Day until we were like in the scene.
Oh.
And then we took a picture backstage and did
cute.
Couple of hashtags yeah. for the Derby people.
So nice. What is your favorite part of the show each night?
Anything that I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a good answer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. No, I think my favorite, I have a few favorite moments. I really appreciate, and I fall in love with him every night, Colonel Pickering. I
yes.
really, really appreciate, because he is the first person that we see of the upper class, that shows Eliza some respect.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
It's interesting because they're in the scene and they're saying, "Oh, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down." And he's the first
person
that says, "What is your name?"
Right.
He asks her, "What is your name?" And I think, and it's such a lovely moment, because it's like, pull yourself together. All right. Pull yourself together. Okay. I like Colonel Pickering. He's cool. And, I think another favorite moment is, really that Ascot scene is just fun.
It's fun for
everybody. It's difficult for us to, well, at least for me, to sort of in the back to not listen and laugh,
right.
because it's probably the funniest scene in the show, and their delivery of the lines are just fantastic. Dame Diana Rigg, who's just a treasure, along with Lauren, they have great exchanges in that scene. The whole thing is just funny. It's just a funny, funny scene. It's fun to watch.
Right.
Yeah, it's fun to watch.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's so pretty.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're on stage with Lady Tyrell.
She's everything. She's so, so funny. She's a sweetheart. She's as sweet as you would imagine her to be.
Oh,
yeah,
so
she's
great.
As sweet as you would imagine her to be.
What was something from the rehearsal process that you think either helped you as a person or as an actor or in your character? Was there anything that you gained that was really special?
Yeah. Bart had caught me, I think it was like the second or third week. And he was doing something with Lauren. I don't recall what it was, but I was just enthralled in watching. And it was very fresh in the rehearsal process. And I just found myself sitting and really just capturing, like really tuning into what he was doing. And he caught me. And when he said, what? And I was just like, oh, I'm watching you work, man. I'm just watching you work. And I was sort of like, I couldn't find my words because I was witnessing genius happen,
right.
You know, which was very, very cool. I've loved Lauren for a very long time as an actor. I respect her greatly. And so to be in the room with her, mm-hmm. and to see her process and see how she was creating this character. And Bart, of course, after I'd Googled him and found out about his, you know,
some of his credits.
Some of the things he did.
He all right. He does a couple of things.
Uh-huh.
He's cool. He does a couple
of
things.
Yeah, he's kind of here, a residency at Lincoln Center.
Yeah, he does. It's all right. to watch them, the two of them sort of create this character was really cool. But one of the things that stuck out the most was we did a run in the room downstairs, which is a very small room compared to the stage and the space that we have. And we finished the run and Bart said, you know, there were some mistakes. He said, that's okay. Just make better mistakes.
Ooh. Oh.
Exactly. And I was like, oh my God, the man is a genius. I am on Broadway right now. People. It was totally that moment. And I remember him saying, make better mistakes. And that has stuck with me ever since that day. And not just like on stage, like in life, you have to make, it's fine. We're all going to make mistakes. We just need to make better ones.
Yeah.
Love that.
Which is great.
What a good mantra.
Yeah, make better mistakes.
That's so good.
It's great.
Just make better mistakes.
Well, and as a director yourself, think that... well, I am assuming that you're going to come out of this with just an arsenal of different tools that you can use in your own directing.
Yeah, it's interesting because I'm now talking to that same theater back home about next season and what I want to do next for them. And we're sort of throwing ideas back and forth with their current board president. But again, watching these people every night that I get to share the stage with is just, it's literally a masterclass every single day you go to work. You go to work and there's, you know, Rebecca Eichenberger, who's done umpteen shows, and Lance Roberts, who's in the chorus, was on Pee Wee Playhouse, so I used to watch as a kid, you know, and there's just these seasoned, tried and true actors who are all, I'm getting a little emotional right now. It's the wine.
It's always the wine.
Let me have another sip. Let me have another sip because I'm going to get emotional.
I need to call my father.
It's really, it's mind-boggling to me to spend time with these people who are, hey, kitty. All right, go to lay down. All right, bye.
Guys, Abel is up and at 'em.
Abel is up and in the other room. Abel said, I ain't got time for this. He told me I'm laughing later.
He's like, it's too long.
Right? Exactly. Oh my God. No, for real. For real. Because I'm trying to catch that train. But,
especially next week.
Yes, I'm saying. Oh my God, it's been driving me crazy. But I remember watching the movie. And the first time I saw it, I was like, she still don't know how to say A. It's been like an hour and a half and she still don't know how to say this. A, girl, A. Come on, now we ain't got time for this. A, A, I, I. They're a trip. It is really, truly the greatest gift that I've had. I could die tomorrow and I would be absolutely happy because I work with the talent that I work with. I work in Lincoln Center is a phenomenal place to work.
Yeah, speak about that.
Yeah, it's phenomenal. I mean, it is. I have one complaint, but I'm not going to talk about it. just one. There's no bathrooms. But other than like Lincoln Center is phenomenal. Everything. Actually, I remember when they did the design presentation and they showed us the model of the they showed us the model of the set. I was so gagged that I literally, I was trying to be cool. I was trying not to be the black kid in the room, but the black boy just came out of me and I was just screaming, y'all got money. They have money at Lincoln Center when I tell you these people, the yes. design for, and then they showed us the set and it turned, I'm not because y'all didn't see the show, but when they showed us the thing and then the thing does the thing and then they told us they said how she's going to change the costume. I'm gagged. Absolutely gagged at is gag worthy.
Oh my goodness.
That's brilliant. Incredible.
It's absolutely brilliant. And you know, and then, you know, I forgot to mention him, but also Norbert.
Yeah.
Who are you working with?
Yeah, Norbert Leobot. Stamp me and mail me, but get me to the train on time. I got to be there in the morning. Some bloke who's able, lift up the table, get me to the
train. He's up and coming. He's
I haven't heard of him.
He is sensational. Of course, the kid in me is like, oh my God, I listen to him. You know what I mean? I've had that, totally had that star moment, that the whole fan moment. But the coolest guy, so cool, very cool, very chill. He's always got his dressing room door open and it's always music playing and he just creates a really positive, fun energy for everybody at work. And he's a delight to work. We're only in one scene together, but he's an absolute delight. Ugh. Just funny. Makes you pull up.
Yeah.
As an actor. So.
Well, and that's, I think, what you need in any job that you're in ever. Like, it doesn't matter if you're, you know, working retail or you're working in a restaurant or you're on Broadway. Like,
you need Norbert Leo Butts.
You need Norbert Leo Butts in your life. And you need somebody who's going to come and make you better as a person and as a performer and as at your job.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredible to have that and have that every single night.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing.
Mm. Yeah. Tell me about it.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're gonna play games right now.
Yes!
I didn't know it. I just set it up. Was that good?
Yes.
Okay.
That was good.
I'm excited. Let's play a game.
So tonight we are playing Before and After.
Okay.
So
I'm here for that.
I will give you the titles of two musicals.
Oh, Lord.
And there is one word that connects them. So, for an example,
I love it.
The music blank of La Mancha.
Man.
Yep.
Okay.
You did
it. Oh, God.
See?
Josh Daniel, where are you?
This is going to be so much fun.
I don't. Okay. I'm nervous. Okay, so I'm bad at musicals.
You can buzz.
Okay.
Just by saying buzz.
Okay.
Because we're not fancy.
Okay.
When you have the answer. So
wait, I'm the only participant.
No. Jimmy is playing with you. Jimmy's
you're gonna win. This is okay. Go ahead.
Ready?
I'm ready.
They're playing our
bank. I mean, what?
Buzz.
That's what I tried to say. Buzz.
Uh huh.
Song.
Yeah. And then so it'd be they're playing our song and dance.
Oh.
But you got it. That was exactly it. Really that was exactly it.
I'll let you get the name. Yeah.
Ready? South. Blank overtures.
Pacific.
Uh-huh. South Pacific
buzz.
Overtures.
Oh, I heard. Well, okay.
Sunday in the Park with blank M.
Oh,
Buzz.
George Buzz.
Yeah.
George M.
Yep.
You didn't have to do that.
That was it.
George.
There's nothing after the M?
Nope.
Oh, okay. Okay. I don't know.
You don't have to do the other part of
it. I'll give you both shows.
College dropout.
Ready?
Still on Broadway.
Okay. Summer, hello.
This one's real fun. My Fair blank in the Dark.
Buzz question mark. I would like to go. Is it Lady?
Wow, that was really tough, you guys.
Oh my God, is that the lightning round?
That did was I win? It.
Okay, keep going.
The Rocky Horror blank boat.
Love Boat.
Show.
Bang.
Bang.
Oh.
Show.
Oh, musical theater. See, I don't listen. I didn't, y'all, I don't know. I sold Twizzlers. Okay, I was minding my business.
You guys, also, he's still selling Twizzlers before
exactly.
the show.
So if you need if you need to see me, I will be in the lobby of Vivian Beaumont. Okay, selling the Twizzlers.
All right, and
it's
then
okay. Everyone at the box office knows me.
Yeah, right. Work. Actually, they do know. Oh, they do know me at the box.
Yeah,
like it's a sweet house.
Yeah, it's a sweet house. House. Yeah.
Okay, ready. She loves blank and my girl.
Blank. I mean Buzz.
See, I said bank.
Yeah. I said, yeah.
Go ahead.
Me.
Yep. She loves me and my girl. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm.
This is fun. I like this. I'm failing, but I like
I think we're neck and neck.
Yeah, no, you're good. Kiss of the Spider, blank of the year.
Buzz. Woman.
No, yeah, I knew that, but I'm trying to think about is
Woman of the
Woman
Year.
Woman of the Year
is the show.
Yeah,
on Broadway. Oh,
yeah, okay. It was
I mean, not like, right now.
No, but I mean, it was okay.
These are things that are happening right now.
42nd blank scene.
Oh, Blinga!
Blinga.
I want like a buzzer or something. I want to like
we gotta invest in a buzzer.
We need to invest in buzzers.
Yeah. Okay, I'm here for that.
It's good.
Can you repeat the question? Street.
Yep.
That was from my audition.
Yeah.
Lonely House. Street scene.
Street scene.
Never seen it. Go. Don't know anything about it, but just, I sang the song. Whatever.
The full blank.
Yes. Bingo. Pipe.
Yep.
Monty.
Yeah.
Come on, I'm into it now.
Monty Python's Spamalot.
Okay. Oh, damn. I didn't know all that.
Yeah.
Mr. Blank.
I'm sorry.
Town.
Mr. Blank Town?
Yep. Mr. Blank Town.
Bing.
Uh-huh.
Big.
Nope.
On the.
Nope.
Mr. On the. Welcome to the new hot musical, Mr. On the. He's just one guy looking for love. His last name is Onda.
Exactly. I'm here for that. No, that's wrong.
His name's Mr. Onda.
Jimmy, do you know?
Mr. Oh, wait. Now I'm thinking about the Onda town. Oh, wonderful.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Why,
the sound of.
Blank.
Mm-hmm.
I mean.
I'm totally taking blank as Buzz now. It's the same word.
Blank, thank you. Bingo. I would like to say,
bingo, is that
what is the question? What is in this wine? 23% of what now?
It is 14.5%.
I've been drinking. Listen, this is, ladies and gentlemen, I've been drinking. I'm going to go ahead and ask you to repeat the question.
The sound of blank.
Music.
In the air.
In the air.
Yep. That's it. Ready? Move in blank. Of this world.
Buzz.
Blank.
Go ahead.
No, you.
Out.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
1600 just... Pennsylvania blank Q.
Blank. Bingo. Avenue.
Yep.
Oh my God. I just.
I don't know why when you said 16, immediately I was like, Bing candles.
Nope.
That's a movie.
How do you know 16 candles? You're not that old. Old enough to know that. Are you?
Yeah. Right. I was born in the 80s. 16. I know 16
That's
candles.
Nice. Good for you.
Jersey, blank.
Bingo.
Yep.
Boys.
Yep.
And the hood on the side.
Girls together.
Oh.
I was going to say boys in the hood, too.
I was ready for In the Hood.
When is that going to be a musical?
Lawrence Fishburne. No, you know what they need? I'm sorry. Excuse me.
I know you're so good. You're so good.
This is why I don't... Because they need to do School Days the musical. Holler if you hear me, but not that. But School Days the musical would be incredible. Okay, I'm
why?
Sorry. So would Polly the musical. I just like the black shows, you know, because I can get a job. But although, you know, they got black people in My Fair Lady. I didn't know that. That's another reason I was like, wait, what? My Fair Lady? Black people in a black movie? A bunch of white folks walking around not being able to say their vowels. What the hell? But here I am. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry. Continue. Carry on.
Oh, my God.
This is fun.
All shook blank.
Blanked. Up.
In on Central Park.
Oh.
Hey, okay. If
up on the roof.
Up on the roof.
I was listening. It's
beautiful.
Well,
Melissa Benoist.
Up the ladder to the roof where we can see.
Yeah, exactly. Up the ladder to the
roof. Can I add a second tier? to this game.
Uh-oh. Okay.
You just making this up on the spot.
Bonus if we
if you can finish it?
If we can if we yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you win.
Let's do it. Let's do it. You're a good man, Charlie.
Blank, blank, uh-huh. Brown.
Uh-huh.
Brown to my pants.
Nope. That's not a show. What? That is not a show.
Brown. The show title is Brown?
It is Brown something, though I will accept two answers. There are two answers that I would
accept. Well, the only Brown I can think of is the unthinkable Molly Brown.
Yeah.
Actually, I will accept that.
Thank you.
I'll accept that.
What?
The other two that I were thinking, the real answer is Brown Buddies, but the other one that I would have accepted was Bubble and Brown Sugar.
Okay.
Great. Okay, ready?
Yeah.
The lion blank.
Buzz King.
Mm-hmm. But what's the next one?
It's a musical.
King of the World.
No.
I'm.
I'm King of the World.
I'm. I'm. Oh, look at, come on, notes. Come on, notes. All right.
Anyone?
No. It's King Kong?
Of Hearts. Though King Kong I would have accepted.
Okay.
Because that's new.
It's coming.
That's new.
We got to get him on the podcast. We got to get King Kong on the podcast.
I think he's kind of tall.
That's okay. We
can't fit him in here. Ready?
We'll go to him.
That's what she said. What? You're welcome.
Shrek the blank.
Blank.
Musical of musicals of musicals?
I'll accept that.
Thank
Whoa.
You. Isn't that good that I knew that?
That was good.
That was good.
I'll accept
that.
It technically is musical chairs. But
oh. All right.
What is musical chairs?
It's a musical.
Well, you sit down and you go around the
Is it? Thank you.
You're welcome.
it's an old musical.
If it's not in a video game now, kids don't know it.
Exactly.
Ready?
Okay.
Finian's.
Blank.
Mm-hmm.
Rainbow Connection. Rainbow. Oh, we got. Oh, wait. Do we doing the bonus round? Are we still in the bonus round? Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because I think we could like have. Okay. Yeah.
No. Go ahead.
We're
no,
in our
you,
last five.
You go then. You go.
In our last five. I don't know the rainbow one.
There's rainbow five? Rose. Yeah. Rainbow we have four more now. Four one. More. Four more. A tree grows in.
Blank.
He was
Brooklyn.
First.
Okay. Finished up.
Brooklyn. Brooklyn
Ooh,
Boys.
Ding, ding, ding.
Uh-huh.
The musical?
Yep.
Thank you.
Yes.
Once upon a time.
So for our listeners, you can go onto YouTube and see me singing that song.
Yes.
And it gets real high, real fast.
Me too, on a cruise ship, of course.
Right, of course.
In 6-part harmony.
Right, yes. Yeah. Always yeah. harmony.
Always.
You can see that on my Instagram story coming up.
Yes.
Oh. Oh, remind me of Instagram stories later.
Okay.
Okay.
Funny blank.
Uh-huh. Dang girl.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. But you have finished it.
Girl on the Train, the musical.
Nope.
What?
Girl on the Train?
Nope. Not yet.
It's happening.
Well, I know a new show that has a girl in the title. I don't even know if it's out yet. Girl, Thou Art Loosed.
Mm.
Is that it?
Girl Shakes Loose. That's what it's called.
The one that they have here is Girl of Mine.
Girl of Mine.
Girl Interrupted.
Why does it start? Yeah, let's do
all of these
that
shows.
That would be just Chris.
Yuri Order is in your neck.
No. Yes, quote it. Yes. That was Angelina and Winona.
And Winona.
Yeah.
And Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know Whoopi was in it.
Yeah, she was in it.
She can get another EGOT for that.
She's right? Go ahead, Whoops. Yeah, Whoops, when you coming to the show, Whoops, when you coming to see
she
My Fair Lady.
She went to SpongeBob yesterday.
Uh-oh.
She's, you know what? She's seen Harry Potter and SpongeBob, but we had Joy Behar.
Okay.
I like Joy. She's cool.
She's great.
She's that cool. Works. I'm that cool works. With Joy.
Yeah.
I really want Meghan McCain to come just because I want to sit down and have a chit chat with her.
She's coming to things.
What? What things?
You know, just like stuff.
She did talk to Snooki the other day. I saw that on Taxi TV.
That's
on the View. They were on the View.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. They had the cat. Yeah. I'm ready to do the View. P.S. Let's rewind. Excuse me. Interrupt the game one more time. You asked me what my favorite number is. Actually, wouldn't it be Loverly?
I mean,
because I'm in it.
Yeah. You have a moment.
I have a solo.
Yeah.
It's really cute.
So come see the show.
but it's not in the commercial.
Yeah. Have you done any?
No.
You don't know what I'm gonna.
I do. No.
You haven't done any. Mm-mm. Any morning shows
I'm,
or?
I'm curious as to whether or not we will because we're sold out.
Well, and Lincoln Center doesn't typically do the circuit.
Yeah.
We need to.
Exactly. Because they got money. This is what I'm saying to you. Mm-hmm. But Ma, make pretend that I was on The View and then you can be happy.
There you go.
But I'm going to be on the Tony Awards. So that's cool too.
Beautiful. Yeah. We'll watch you. That's the best one. We'll do a big drink.
Yes. Again. I'll be drinking too.
Yes. When?
Don't worry. I'll be drinking.
Again, not before people are
listening. No.
But definitely after.
Definitely during.
when we see him, that's definitely a rule. When we see Chris
Faison. Yes. Hello.
Yes, we will take a very
I'm excited. It's going to be a.
Well, and then we'll have to have you back to talk about the Tonys.
Okay. Yeah.
We love to have people talk about that. Being on the Tonys.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay. I'm here for that. We totally interrupted the game, but that's okay.
If we can do a round table, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be so much fun. Okay, last one. Here we go. Last one. Lady B blank.
Bing Cardi.
No.
What?
Lady B Cardi.
No.
Who is Cardi?
Like Cardi B?
No.
Oh, I don't know who that person is.
No.
I don't know who it is either.
I really, truly don't.
No.
All I know about her is that she wanted to know where her taxes go. She did an Instagram story or something, or a Snapchat or something. I don't know.
Good for her. Wait. Can
Lady B blank.
Lady B good?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. And then can you give me the other
Fellas?
No.
Oh, that's a movie.
That should be a movie. I mean, a musical.
Good Times.
Good Morning, Baltimore. No.
Good Times, the musical.
The second ones are always harder.
The second ones are always harder.
You made it out. Yes, you're wrong.
You decided.
You did. You came up with the rule.
You said you were dinging before. You were already like, oh, I already know this.
Because I did, and now you got me confused.
It's good news.
I was going to say Good Morning Vietnam. That would be fun, too.
That'd be a good one.
That'd be good.
Let's just list a bunch of movies that we want to make out of musicals.
How about that?
Labyrinth.
Well, that's coming.
Avengers, Age of...
Labyrinth and
Princess Bride have both been coming for a really long time.
I need Purple Rain.
Yeah?
The musical.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need Avengers, Age of Ultron.
No, we learned from our Spider-Man episode that it's very hard to do a superhero.
It's very hard. But you know what? I could do it as evidenced by the Fix-A-Flick episode that I did.
That is true. Listen to Fix-A-Flick.
Fix-A-Flick.
So, Chris, where can people find you on social media?
IG Faison, Instagram. Great. That's it. I don't really tweet. Oh. I have a Twitter, but I don't Twitter.
I can't do it.
Instagram name now. I didn't know what the IG stood for. I was just like, that's
cool. Instagram.
Oh, no, Jimmy.
I'm going to need you to stop smoking ass.
Doing real well today.
I'm going to need you to stop smoking ass. Right. Yeah, find me on social media, IG Faison. I like to do that. I'm also doing, a concert next Monday.
What?
Beautiful.
Is it next Monday? Yeah, next Monday, I'm doing At This Performance.
Great.
And it is the Broadway Understudies
concert.
Yes.
Exciting. So if you want to hear me sing in Freddie's material, come.
Where? When?
That's going to be at the Yotel.
I love Yotel.
Yeah, right? There's everything. Details to come.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't have the email right in front of me.
Great. We'll put it in the show.
Bingo. There you go. That's it. That's all you need.
Blank. Bing.
Jimmy? Where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter at Jimmy_Robertson and on Instagram at Jimmy Robertson.
And you can find me at JM Humphrey on all the things. Or JM Humphrey 1.
Oh my God,
I've had too much wine. JM Humphrey 1 on all the things. And then follow us at Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and Twitter and tannins and tunes@gmail.com. You can email us your questions. We need more reviews on iTunes so that we can pair a wine with your username.
Oh, that's fun.
And yeah, so that we can donate a dollar towards a charity for this month. And since we are in the month of May, we will most likely be donating towards the Time's Up campaign again this month towards women in honor of our mothers.
Yes.
This week or this month. And big thing that's going on is I am trying to do a lot more Insta stories
on Tans and Tans. Oh, yeah. Hey, so remind you about your Instagram.
Yeah. Story. So something that I did this past week is that, yeah, thanks, Jimmy. Real good at reminding me.
Oh, my God.
Okay, something that I did this week is that I've been trying out some new wines for the show, especially some canned wines.
Right.
Trying to find a good one for our red, white, and crew that's coming up.
Oh, I can't wait.
And so I was trying a bunch of sparkling wines in cans. And so if you followed our Insta story, that was on there.
It was so nice.
It was really fun. So definitely check us out because I kind of am been putting in a lot of effort.
Yeah. There's a new poll thing. There's a new sliding poll.
Yeah, there's the new poll and all that mess. Yeah, so check us out.
That's and brilliant. I love it.
Yeah, definitely do all those things. Review on Instagram so that we can donate towards Time's Up.
Mm-hmm.
Send us an email so that we know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Tweet at us. Blog. Instagram. Anyway. Like, follow all the people.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends. It'll be
great. Tell your enemies.
Go see Chris at the hotel and at My Fair Lady, which is sold out.
Can't get tickets, but that's okay. Come see me anyway. Wait, can I say something?
Yeah.
Thank you. I just want to say thank you.
Oh,
thank you.
I'm like so appreciative right now. This is really dope. I feel like I'm with friends.
Exactly.
Thank you.
So thank you for having me. Oh my God, thank you.
This is great.
Honestly, no, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I think that it's important. What you do.
Well, thank you.
It's good times.
We appreciate that.
It's good times.
Drinking wine.
And talking the tea. With the Broadway people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
We're always happy to have.
Always.
Work.
Literally always happy
Work.
To drink.
Ow. Yeah.
And we're always happy to have you.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. For real.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
This might be my pleasure. I'll never know. And we're done.